This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, March 8th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The price of Bitcoin is hovering near new record highs, 3 years after collapsing and losing more than 50% of its value.
People who invest in Bitcoin particularly tend to be long-term believers in it. And so while everyone is really excited that it hit a new record for the first time since 2021, a lot of people expect that it could go even higher. But we've also spoken to people who are much more cautious.
Caitlin Ostroff covers digital currencies for the WSJ. We'll talk to her about the current Bitcoin rally and what could move the price going forward after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The recent run-up in the price of Bitcoin has left some investors with mixed feelings about their holdings. Wall Street Journal reporter Caitlin Ostroff joins me. Caitlin, what has pushed Bitcoin's price to the record highs we've seen this week?
It seems in part that Bitcoin's run-up is due to excitement over the approval of exchange-traded funds that hold Bitcoin. ETFs have gotten very popular in recent years for a number of assets, including stocks and bonds. They wind up being very cheap for people to buy into and also very accessible because anyone with a retirement account also has a brokerage account, and therefore they have an easy way to kind of plug in a ticker and buy and sell whatever they want to, like how they would a stock or like some other fund that they wanted to add to their investments. And a lot of the hype about that was that this could expand the base of Bitcoin investors because you wouldn't have to go on Coinbase, one of the US exchanges, give them your name, your passport, go through all of the compliance, and then go buy Bitcoin and hold that yourself. You could just kind of do it where you do all of your other investments.
You and reporter Joe Pinsker spoke to some people who have invested in and held Bitcoin for several years. What kind of a roller coaster ride has that been?
For the true believers, a lot of them didn't blink. They went, I really believe in Bitcoin. It's going to go back up. And for some people, they were like, oh God, did I bet on the wrong horse? Bitcoin market having crashed to, you know, just a bit over $15,000 at one point in the last like 2 years, it has fluctuated wildly. And you don't buy crypto unless you're comfortable with some degree of risk.
How much cryptocurrency do financial advisors suggest that people have in their portfolio, if any?
It obviously depends on the person, but financial advisors usually advise you to keep a very small percentage, probably under 3%, in your portfolio. And obviously don't put in more money than you can afford to lose. You kind of have to operate on the assumption that Bitcoin could crash again because it's crashed many times through its history. And so, you know, just kind of be cautious.
What have the investors you spoke with say they plan to do with their Bitcoin investments in light of it reaching new records?
Largely, they plan to hold. People who invest in Bitcoin particularly tend to be long-term believers in it. And so while everyone is really excited that it hit a new record for the first time since 2021, a lot of people expect that it could go even higher. But we've also spoken to people who are much more cautious and because of Bitcoin's volatility have basically said they may have traded in the past, but they're not going to get back in.
For people who have held Bitcoin, how should they review their wider portfolios given these record levels?
The thing with Bitcoin is, so if you sit there and say, I only want 2 or 3% of my portfolio to be in Bitcoin, that is a great idea, but that's not always very easily managed because the price moves so much so quickly that you basically have to actively be buying or selling in order to maintain the same proportion that you want. And so it's really a matter of you have to keep kind of laser focus on, you know, if Bitcoin surges $10,000, $20,000, it's a much larger portion of your portfolio than you intended it to be.
If somebody wanted to start an investment in Bitcoin, what should they consider?
The volatility and the fact that Bitcoin is computer code that someone who is anonymous still, we don't know who they are, created at one point. And that's been trading for more than 10 years, but we don't know anything about whether the original creator could come back one day. They hold quite a lot of Bitcoin as well and can move the price. We don't know why often Bitcoin goes up. There's ETF flows, which might be one reason for the catalyst, but there's also a lot of buying that happened outside the US from data we've seen that happened recently. But even sometimes like a news headline or social media post, whether accurate or not, can move the price significantly in either direction.
We often see stock prices driven up or down by earnings reported by a company or by broader economic conditions. Is there similar data that can lead to changes in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency prices?
With limited exceptions, not really. To a degree, Bitcoin goes up when interest rates are low or when people are, you know, feeling a little bit more optimistic about the economy. So sometimes it rises and falls with broader stocks. But you're never going to see an earnings report from Bitcoin. There's not a one-to-one correlation of interest rates with it. And so short of something significant happening like the crashes we saw in 2022 due to bankruptcies, which obviously wound up being a major net negative for Bitcoin, often you're kind of left trying to read the tea leaves as to why it moved. And I spend a decent part of my day often calling around and everyone's going, oh, it just moved.
So there is an element of mystery here.
Yeah, there's a huge element of mystery.
Is there any data to help us predict if the Bitcoin rally will continue or if a significant decline is likely on the horizon?
If we knew that, we would be starting hedge funds. Like, it's so hard to predict. There's different indicators you can look at, kind of trying to guess and read the tea leaves. There's people excited about a decrease in Bitcoin supply that's coming up in a few months. But also, to a degree, you don't know what drives it. Part of the 2021 boom in Bitcoin was actually driven by these bets that people were making with borrowed money called leverage. And so all of these exchanges were letting them place basically bets with more money than they had on it going up. And that kind of consistently drove it higher. And when it crashed, that wiped it out even faster. And so you don't really know what's underpinning the rally, and therefore you can't really know if and when a crash is going to happen.
Now, you mentioned the Bitcoin supply. Can you explain what that is and why some investors think that could significantly change the price of Bitcoin when it happens?
Part of Bitcoin's fundamental design is that the number of Bitcoin that are released every 10 minutes decreases every 4 years. And so there's a built-in scarcity element to Bitcoin that isn't quite true of most other cryptocurrencies, where people go, because the supply will decrease, we're back to economics 101 here, then when demand goes up, the price will go higher. Whether that is true remains to be seen, but that's why some people get excited about Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation or think that it's going to go up further.
That's WSJ reporter Caitlin Ostroff. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back on Monday morning with WSJ's Greg Ipp to discuss why career and work aren't as important to Americans anymore. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu. I'm your host, J.R. Whalen. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/itheroes.